His mercy endures forever. So there's mercy every morning for us, so that we are reminded every day that though we yet sin, though there's still sin in the believers, and though we yet commit acts of sin, we are no longer seen by God as sinners because of the blood that was shed and the life that Jesus laid down for us in the bread. So we give praise to God that now there's no longer any condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus because of sin. There's no longer any condemnation by the Father toward us because we are no longer because of the blood and the body. There's no longer any condemnation. There can't be because Jesus took it. He removed it. He satisfied the Father. When I woke up this morning, God spoke these words to me. To fear God is to love God. To fear God is to love God. Those God-fearing persons need to understand that we're not afraid. And therefore, the fear of the Lord is actually the love of the Father who gave his Son, who sent his Son to earth. So the fear of the Lord is actually the love of God, the love of the Father. And the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. What then is the end of wisdom? What is wisdom? It's to begin with the fear of the Lord, but it's to end in the love of the Father. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, but the end of wisdom is the love of the Father who sent his own Son. And so it takes wisdom to know that there's not only fear that we should not sin, commit acts of sin to be sinful, but there's also then the love of God that removes not just the guilt through mercy, but also the power of sin over us. Sin can no longer reign or have dominion over a believer. By believing the promise of God in the gospel, the good news, there is now no bad news for us. So, since there isn't any bad news, to obey God's law actually means to obey his gospel. The spirit of the law is different than the letter. The letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. So, to obey God's law, which we have done through Christ, who did it for us, in us, and now working through us, is actually to obey his gospel. So there aren't two different things, they're the same thing. In other words, if you obey the Lord, but do not understand that that also is to obey the gospel, you misunderstood the law. The law is actually what shows us what we cannot do apart from him, but what we can do with him. So relationship always precedes performance. There is no such thing as a relationship with God and not a performance by the Holy Spirit. So Christians who justify sin have totally misunderstood the gospel. The gospel was never so you could do what you wanted. or just be forgiven for all your sins so you could keep going, was actually given so you'd live a holy life, which is a happy life. Or there is no such thing as living an unholy life and being happy. Sin hath pleasure for a season, but it's not the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So God does not want us to sin, but instead of putting the law on us to not sin or to do what's right, he chose instead, knowing that we couldn't keep the law perfectly, he chose to live that law for us before the foundation of the world through Jesus Christ and his blood. And then to work that in us, and then to perform that through us, all by himself, without your help, without your assistance, without your cooperation, but with your consent. In other words, God will not act without your consent, but your consent is not, I will help out, I will cooperate. Your consent was simply, Lord, do what you have promised. So your consent is consent to a promise that he made, obligating himself not only to forgive, not only to forget, but also to perfect you in this world, so that when he returns, we will be corporately a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So, should Christians obey the law? No. Unless you're speaking of the spirit of the law, then yes, because the spirit of the law is the gospel. In other words, the purpose of the law was to show you what you couldn't do so that you could then turn to God who could do what you couldn't do, so that you would then be able to do all things through Christ. All things through Christ in relationship to God. Your performance follows your relationship, not precedes it. The Jewish system, the Catholic system, and many Protestants, in fact, believe you have to do something to perform or show appreciation. Not true. What must we do to be doing the works of God, to be doing the will of God? What must we do? Only believe. The only thing you can do perfectly, the only thing you can do in God's sight, is believe that God hath paid the price that pleases him. That God, knowing you could not please him by anything that you did or didn't do, you could never please God because your works are not perfect. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. They're working for nothing. So whether you stop sinning or start sinning in your own eyes is not the same as in God's eyes. In God's eyes, anything you do or don't do is sin. Apart from faith, everything is sin. But faith in a promise that God said he would provide the lamb for a burnt offering. He would make the sacrifice that you owed. He would pay whatever need to be paid through Jesus Christ and his blood, so that you then could enjoy this world and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So man at his best state in the flesh, to be religious, to be moral, to try hard, to at least make an effort, is altogether vanity. It's altogether nothing in God's sight. So we didn't go by our own thinking. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. You have to learn the language of heaven and speak it and take every thought that you have captive to the word of God. pay close attention not to the letter of the law, but to the spirit of the law, that is, read between the lines and see the gospel, the spirit of the law, in the letter of the law. So to keep the law is actually to obey the gospel. To do what God wants is actually to do nothing, but to take what God hath said, what God hath done, as your righteousness, your only righteousness. There is no other. So it's an alien righteousness, foreign to you, given to you as a free gift, not for doing something or stopping doing something, but for believing that he's already done everything. So our thanksgiving to God, our praise to God, our adoration to God, our worship to God is actually to thank him for doing everything, to praise him for who he is, and to adore him because he is your beloved, your bridegroom, that's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. He has provided everything. God has done everything. God has said everything. There's nothing more to be done or said but what God hath said. Now that to me is good news. So to keep the law in the fear of God is actually to be perfect. And since no one can do that, that's not the keeping of the law, is to try your best or to be what you think is best. God doesn't count it. So man at his best state, I would say of Hillary, a would-be president, I have to feel sorry for her because I know she is deceived into thinking that what she's doing is good. And I'm not against her at all. I feel sorry for her that she's still under the law that thinks you have to behave in a certain way, even though her life says she hasn't. And that if you do that, you're doing a favor. And she believes that, that she's actually should stay and keep going and help out everybody because she's still under a law that says you have to behave and help people. She's always trying to build a village or help people or, you know, get rid of the self-righteous people in the world. That's a wonderful thing to do. And she's always trying to be helpful. And her friend George Soros is trying to help out and pay millions and millions of dollars to destroy all of those that believe differently or who believe differently about God as well as about man. God doesn't want our good works. He hates them. They're a stench in his nostrils. He can smell immediately that what you're trying to do is make an offering to me. What you're trying to do is appease me. What you're trying to do is please me, to do my will in your own power, in your own strength, according to your own reason, by your own conscience, with the approval of others. That's what I hate. I don't want you to make an offering to me or an atonement. I will make my own atonement or offering from you to me. I'll do it myself. So God has made the atonement for us long ago and promised that to Abraham, but that wasn't confirmed until the blood of Jesus on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Now, everything that happened before that was only a promise to Abraham. Now, it had been confirmed that he had Isaac. That was a confirmation. But the promise was bigger than just, I will give you a son through whom the Messiah will come. That was part of the promise, but the promise even bigger. Not only would there be mercy with God, but also power with God, but also love of the Father for his people, so that we could actually be holy and righteous on this earth. Not in our own strength, not according to our own wisdom or power, not trying hard, not being under stress, not being concerned. I hope what I did was right. I hope what I did pleased God. Nothing that you could ever think or imagine would please God, except one thing, and that alone, that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, all things would take place. Savior, Lord, Bridegroom, Inheritor, everything would be given to you as a free gift. Nobody can earn it. There's nothing you could ever do or not do that would please God. So your ability to do is zero. Your ability to please God is zero. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give it to you, not to earn it, but just his good pleasure to give it to sinners who repent. Repent doesn't mean stop doing sin. Start doing what's right. Repent means believe that God has already done what you need to do and has already forgiven you for what you did do. It's over. That is good news. Now, I'm amazed that God wanted this message of his goodness, of his greatness, of his glory, of his majesty, not ours. That he would want that published and proclaimed and taught by pastors and evangelists and prophets and apostles. He would want that taught weekly. It's certainly every Lord's Day, but really every day, all the time, wherever you go. And to give good news to everyone. Not just also sinners, but only sinners. This message is only for sinners. It's not for righteous people. Don't think I've come for the righteous. I've come for sinners who repent, which means not stop sinning or try hard or try to do what's right. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about repent mean believe that God is good, that God made a promise that he must confirm and then seal and then perfect and then give you everything. That's God. So we serve an awesome God, a God who is worshiped not as a work, but worshiped because there's no work to be done. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So what God wants is nothing. Shabbat shalom. In other words, every day for us is heaven on earth. Every day for us is joy unspeakable and full of glory. By faith, by faith, by faith. That's not a small thing. That's everything. That's not, well, I did that by faith. There isn't anything else. There isn't anything else. That means you heard the word and the Holy Spirit confirmed that word to you personally. Not just when Jesus died on the cross. That's impersonal. That's something that was done for you by God. But you need to receive that, rejoice in that. How? How do you do that? Well, you can't. There's nothing you can do. Faith cometh by doing nothing. Faith cometh by doing nothing. Faith does not come by doing or stop doing. You can't give yourself rest. Even if you sat and did nothing, that doesn't please God. So he isn't trying to get you to perform. He is the only actor in the universe. No one else does anything. So what God has done and is yet doing is completely a free gift. All he wants is for people to take it and enjoy it. So to me, this is good news. It's very good. It's very good because I never made any effort while I was growing up to do anything for God. I never wanted to please God. Not my heart, not my soul, not my strength, not my anything. The only reason I went to church when I was 11, first time I ever darkened the door of a church, was because my third father forced us to do so. I didn't want to go. And I realized as soon as I got there that it was hypocrisy. The little kids are real sharp about that. And so I realized, wow, I don't really want to be part of this, but he'll beat me if I don't. And he said so. So, you know, it wasn't like, would you like to go? It's like, you will go, and we will get some good behavior out of you. But it didn't work, because I went, but my lips had nothing to do with my heart. And so I lived a double life. My parents actually never knew what I was doing. Even you don't know what I do. You do, you don't. You don't know what I'm really thinking, what I'm really feeling. And since I don't really care, I never have and never will, ever. Why? Because I've already found everything I'm looking for, which is that Jesus did everything for me. I can't believe that. I'm still amazed. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't choose him. He chose me. I just chose his choosing me and said, okay, I'll take it. I'll enjoy it. Now, how much do you give? Everything. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. I want everything you have. That pleases him. For you to enjoy yourself is what pleases him. Did you know that there's joy unspeakable and full of glory? I mean, it's just like incredible. Wow, I don't deserve it. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to want it. I don't have to understand it. I just take it and enjoy it. And it is wrong. And I've never made any effort to please God. Never. At any time. Everything I do is just free. I just do it freely. When I sin, I did that freely. And now that I'm a believer, I do that freely. So I've always been relaxed. I'm never stressed. No one has ever found me stressed out, worried, nervous, or afraid, or anything. I never had any fear of God. Zero. I never had any love of God. Zero. So I was a complete pagan, heathen, unbeliever. Not a good person. Kind of like Danny. Only Danny did go to church. At least he had that. I don't know if they spanked you or what, but you knew I better do it.
I'll switch my
doctor's spot. So you see, God is not looking for saints. He's looking for sinners who repent, that is, who think this. God will do everything. My Father in heaven will provide clothing for me, food for me, lodging for me, everything, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every way. I need to do nothing to earn his favor. Daddy, what can I do to please you? Nothing. I make a commitment to you to bless you. What if I sin? Mercy. Oh, now that's not right. Why would you do that? Because I love you. Why? What have I done to deserve it? Nothing. Well, do I have to appreciate it? No. Would you? I don't know. So there's no law over me. There's no government over me. There's no expectation that I'll amount to a hill of beans someday. And God is still waiting for me to amount to a hill of beans. Do any of you ever feel like you really haven't matured all that much? In other words, Your intention lags behind your action. You intended to do more than you did. I mean, that's just my whole life. That's my whole life. I always intended to do a lot more than I ever accomplished. I always thought I had a lot of potential, but very little actual. It's like my golf game. I actually thought I played okay, pretty well. But my score never represented how well I thought I played. It's like, I don't know. I think I'm better than that, but my score didn't come out that way. So I'm always amazed, amazing grace. I'm always amazed at the grace of God that is continually forgiving me and loving me and working with me and then perfecting me. And I don't even know how he does it. When he speaks to me in the morning, every morning, when he speaks to me, I mean, clearly, I always get up and write it down, as I did this morning. I'm just like so grateful, thankful, in love. It's just so good news. It's unbelievable good news. I've never tried to appropriate what he said in the book. Never have I read the Bible to get a revelation or to get a teaching or to get something. I just read it because he said, I wrote this for you. So I just read it from God to me. Dear Jim, I love you. And that's all I ever read in the Bible. All I ever read in the Bible is, Dear Jim, I love you. You are special to me. You are the apple of my eye. You are precious in my sight. I like to read those things. They don't at all look like my life. Simul justus et peccator, Latin. It means, I am at the same time, simultaneously, I am at the same time a saint, justus, just, and a sinner, peccator. Simul justus et peccator. I'm at the same time both a saint by faith and a sinner in fact. It's just like, I'm so amazed every day that God still hasn't changed his mind about me. I can't believe it. Now, I'm speaking about myself, but I'm not. I'm really speaking about you. Is that I can't imagine anyone wouldn't be elated, joy unspeakable, and full of glory over the mercy and power and majesty and glory of God. Personally loving you. You didn't have to do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You did everything that he didn't want you to do, and you did nothing of what he did want you to do, and therefore, under the law, all have sinned and fallen not just short, but in my case, way short. Like I came up to the Grand Canyon, and instead of running as far as I could to see if I could get across, I just simply slithered down the thing because I didn't want to even make an effort. I never even made an effort, Jackie. I never made an effort. I never made the kind of effort he was looking for sure. It's like, give it your best. Under the law, you have to be perfect. But I didn't want to even try, see if I can jump all the way from this pew to that pew over there. I didn't even want to try because I already knew ahead of time it was too much work. It's too much effort. It's kind of like swimming to Hawaii from Los Angeles. Some could go about, 4 yards. Others could go maybe a mile. For me, I didn't want to even try. I said, well, I'll just take my consequences, whatever they are. I think I'll just sit here on the beach and contemplate the guy swimming. see how far he gets. And marvel at that one that swam 2 miles and then drowned. And the other who went 4 feet and then drowned. I thought that was marvelous. Surely, there must be some goodness to the one that got 2 miles out, or 5. There have been, tremendous stories about people who survived those kind of things and could go so long without any help. I'm not one of those that anyone would marvel about. I'd just be griping the whole time. Why sharks? Why tease me? If you're really God, just scoop me up. Protect me. What good have you done? Nothing. I didn't do anything. I never did. I never worked at marriage. I've never worked at being a pastor. I've never worked at being a good father. I've never worked. I'm kind of lazy. Does anyone have the gift of lazy? 1, 2, 3, 4. So I have that gift of I guess it's not the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I guess it's just lazy. But that's a sin, slothful. I've always been slothful. If there was a shorter way to do something, I'd like to do it that way. If it was hard work, I tried to get out of it. I remember we used to pay David 25 cents to bag leaves. You get 25 cents a bag. And after the first bundle or two, he wouldn't be in the backyard any longer. And then he'd be over playing with his friend. David, look at all the money you could have made today. Yeah, I'm so sorry. But he wasn't sorry at all. He just didn't want to bag them. So he's just off playing. I told you to finish the backyard. We haven't even got to the front yard. But it wasn't an incentive for a child to want to be in the backyard raking leaves, even for a quarter. I probably should have raised it 30 cents, but I should have. You know what? God never wanted anyone to ever keep his law, and nobody ever did. The Bible's very clear about that. All have sinned and fallen short. They didn't make it to Hawaii. They never jumped across the Grand Canyon. Their life never did amount to a hill of beans. And to this day, I am such a procrastinator. Is anyone else a procrastinator? I am. And there's a lot of things that I want to finish and do, and Peggy has a list of them. It reminds me, you know, what about, you know, changing out the new toilet thing we're supposed to get? And so on. I forgot. I got to get one of those. But I just postpone stuff. I'm a big postponer. Kind of like the Spanish idea of mañana. Well, there's always tomorrow. I've probably done as much as I want to do today, but then tomorrow I'm going to try. How many know the best laid plans of men often do not succeed? And so I see other people doing a lot more than I do, and God bless them. I'm okay with them trying their best. But I don't believe they go to heaven. And I believe I do. Not because I didn't do anything or did do something, but because he did something for me, because he loved me. And that, I tell you, will energize you. So in one sense, I'm very industrious. I work very hard. I've never taken a day off. I don't take days off. I'm constantly in the Word. I'm constantly, you know, ministering and setting people free and telling them about the joy of the Lord. I love doing it. I didn't even have to be paid to do it. I would do it even if I wasn't. It's just kind of fun to get both. Paid and I get to tell people the good news about Jesus. Now, another thing is, a lot of people, though they hear the words, they actually don't, they translate the gospel into a law every time. I'll tell them good news, I just have. I'll tell them good news, and they can turn it into bad news. Well, yeah, but, well, yeah, I know, I heard what you said. But you still, you have to do this. I just said you can't, and you haven't, and you didn't, and God did, and it's over. Well, I know, but you got to at least appropriate it. Really? Where's that? Well, I don't know, but I think you have to. You have to do something. You can't just do nothing. By your good works, when people see those, they'll glorify the Father. Okay, well, how many have you done? Not many, but I believe you should. Okay, well, that'll get you into heaven. Believing you should will get you into heaven for sure. I don't believe anybody can get to heaven by good works. I don't believe there's anything to do except believe that he's already done it. That he'd done it already. That it's over. It's past. Well, I don't know, but I got to think about that. Really, what's there to think about? He did it. It's over. Well, I don't think I understand it. Really? You don't understand it? What's there to understand? He did it. He loves you. What's there to understand? Well, I don't know, but I don't feel like I understand that. I've never checked with my understanding. I've never checked with my emotions. I've never checked with my desires. Do you want to go to heaven? I don't even know. I've never been there. I don't know. I'm okay here. But I imagine there is some better place because he wrote it down. But I don't say I understand that. I don't even know if I want that. I've never had that before. It's like eating something you've never eaten before, like a prickly pear or something. It just doesn't sound delicious to me. But if I was starving, maybe I would. God's good news is this. Paul says that, let me speak to you like a man, in human terms. When a man makes a covenant or an agreement or a contract or some kind of way that he obligates himself or is obligated, either mutual or one-sided, when a man does that, it isn't anything just by a promise. I will buy the house for you. I will fix the toilet. I will do something. It's just a promise. It's not solemn. It's not until it's confirmed by doing something, it's meaningless. Let's say a testator says, Danny, when I die, you're going to inherit, you know, the house and the yard and so on and so forth. Well, it's no good if Danny dies before I die. So the testator has to die in order to give Danny the prize, the promise, in the will. And many times you haven't even read the will because they can change it. The testator could change the will before he dies. But once he dies, it's fixed forever. And you cannot change the language. You cannot. Now it's confirmed by the death, by the blood of Jesus when he died on Calvary. So there's the promise right there. And God himself cannot alter it. He cannot. He cannot. The blood has now confirmed that. And up until that moment, he could have changed it. Oh, I'm going back to my law. I see a lot of Christians are taking advantage of me, like Pastor Jim. He's taking advantage of my mercy. I think after what he's just thought and done and said, I'm going to change that a little bit. And I'm put him outside the will, give him just a little portion maybe in hell. I'll give him a nice seat in hell. No, nope, he can't do it because Jesus died. It's already been confirmed. It's fixed forever, even God himself. Let God be true. Every man a liar, but God cannot lie. So since God has fixed it, not only that, to prove it, he'll seal it with the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? What that means is, if indeed God has forgiven me all my sins, then I'm righteous because there's no more sin. So therefore, there's no more death. So therefore, I am a child of God. And because it's sealed, no one can open it. No one can open it. It's sealed until the last day. That's the first time when the final judgment or revelation takes place. That's the first time you find out. But I've been sealed, and I have daily evidence now, since that sealing, that I am a son of God. I am a child of God. I am beloved of God. And no one can take it away. No one can open the seal. No one knows how to open that seal that God hath sealed. And once he makes that promise that's now been confirmed by the blood and sealed by the Holy Ghost, it's impossible. No one can take that away. You can't. No one can. The devil can't. No one. You can't take away my joy, my love, my peace, my happiness, my everything. You can't take it away. I love that. I'm speaking about myself, but I'm talking about you. That no one can take what God hath said, because it's not only been spoken, written down, it's also been confirmed. Like Abraham, he did get his son. But there was more, because it was not only was God going to give him a son, but he also had many other things that were in that covenant. I'll make your name great. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. And he had all kinds of things. I'll give you the land. But he didn't see any of those yet. He hasn't seen all of those. Some little evidences, but not finished, not complete. Because how many know the kingdom of God is going to be out of every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every family? Every. If there's a name out there, but they don't have a believer, that can't happen. Because God said they'd be from every. He meant every. He can't lie. He can't say something poetically. He meant it literally. That out of every nation, tongue, and tribe. That's amazing. So the kingdom of God is going to be really a full... We're going to have a lot of people up there eating at the table. Coming to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take one of the lower seats because it said don't take the higher seat. It'll push you down. So I'm going to take a lower seat and get lifted up. I hope I get up high too. I bet he knows what I'm thinking. Probably put a name tag on one of them. Oh, this is where I'm sitting. I'm way at the end. Have you ever felt like you were neglected or left out or didn't get the best? Don't think that. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. I can't get second best because he could put me in the name tag is right here. Oh, gosh, I'm so far from Jesus, I can barely see him. Could I borrow your binoculars? Thank you. Yeah, he's down there. Thank you. And then he would be coming down all of a sudden. Whoa, he's coming toward this area here. I hope he picks me. And, you know, sure enough, he'd come down. Jim, sit up higher. Okay, praise God. Everybody sees me getting up. Wow, Jim's going up higher. And he moved me one seat. That's it. You've reached your limit. But you see, at any time, he can change his mind. Isn't that amazing? He just wants to see how humble I'll be right there instead of complaining and griping. How many know that you can now be happy all the time from this moment forward? Not only that, that's his will. His pleasure is, and he's doing it all, so you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe it. You just have to, you don't have to see it. You just have to believe it. Do you believe, Jackie, that everything's going your way?
Absolutely.
Linda, do you believe that?
Yes.
It's powerful. It's a miracle. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the gospel, and all of a sudden you believe it. I don't believe there is a law in the gospel. I believe the letter of the law condemns you. But the spirit of the law is the gospel. The spirit of the law is what's written between the lines. So the white fire, this is what the rabbis teach. The white fire is how much of the page is white and how much has dark letters. They call that the black fire. So how much of the white fire is able to triumph over the black fire? So the letter of the law says, behave yourself. But the spirit of the law says, God will behave himself for you. I like that one better. I like the white fire better than the black fire. So everything is written, dear Jim, I love you. You are my beloved. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If I live eternally, you'll live eternally. If I have the kingdom, you'll have it. If I reign, you'll reign. Whatever, wherever I am, you will be. Whatever I am, you will have. And I want you to enjoy it every day, even before you get home, even before you see it with your eye. So the best has been saved to the last. How many know that there's no way you can lose if you've already won? And because Christ has already won for you, you've already won. There's only one that wins the race, Jesus, but you're in him, so you won. There's only one that runs the race and prevails, but it was Jesus, and so you've prevailed. And who's to say God can't include you in his bride? Who's to say there can't be male and female? And you could have former Muslims. You could have former witchcraft people. You could have former lazy people. But those are all former. Why? Because the promise has been confirmed, sealed, and soon it will be delivered. And on a daily basis, I get part of it anyway. Did you know that every day his mercies are new? Every day. Every morning when you wake up, their mercies are new, that he speaks to me. Just to speak to me is amazing, that he would choose, deign himself to speak to me. Someone whom he knows is not perfect. Simul justus et peccator. Same time justified by the gospel, but sinner under the law. Still, even I said, God, I'm gonna be a better boy from now on. Peg will even be pleased with me. I'm sure of it. No, you know what? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, but he doesn't want good intentions. He's already acted. It's over. It's been confirmed. It's been sealed. It's over. And you know what he's looking for? It's not someone who will thank him as a work, but just thank him because there's no work to be done. Just enter into his labors. Enter into his finished work. Enter into what he has done. Enter his rest. It's Shabbat Shalom every day. A perfect Sabbath. A Sabbath of peace every single day. And can you have it in your emotions? Yeah, sometimes. But you can't keep them in your emotions. Can you have it in your thoughts? Yeah, sometimes. But you can't keep them in your thoughts. How about desires? Yeah, but they come and go. Sometimes I will this, sometimes I will that. Has anyone else noticed that duplicity, that contradictoriness inside of you? That one moment you're serving Jesus and loving other people and sharing the gospel, and the next moment you're taking care of yourself and resenting people and criticizing and griping and complaining. Has anybody noticed that little contradiction inside of yourself? I see Peggy nodding her head. I'll confirm that. Has anybody noticed that if God should mark iniquities, King David said, who can stand? But he doesn't regard them. You know why? Because he's already sent Jesus, not just on Calvary, 2,000 years. No, 4,000 years prior to that. That's 6,000 years ago. He already canceled all the debt. He never was mad. He never was angry. He never said you owe. Under the law, of course, you owe, but no one ever kept the law that he gave us. The Jews never kept the law. Did you know no one ever kept the law? No one, no one, no one. Not even Moses. The guy that gave the law didn't even keep the law. He hit the rock twice. So since no one has ever, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, since nobody ever did it, then if it's under law, we're finished. But it's not under law. Jesus is finished, but he said when he's finished, that it's finished. So even though he died, he rose again to give you hope. So he died for your sins and he rose for your justification. That's powerful. So all I have to do is nothing. I don't have to do anything to deserve it or to earn it. I just enjoy it. I have no fear of the future. I have no guilt over the past. I should. Under the law, I would. But I'm not under the law. I'm under the gospel. I heard it and one day I didn't make myself do this, but one day I believed it. I didn't make myself believe it. I never read the Bible to get it. I never read the Bible to get anything out of it. I just read it because it was part of the Western literature and part of the culture. And I had a class. You had to do it when I went to college anyway. I don't know if they still do this, but they forced you to go to chapel. They called it chapel. And you had to go every day and hear stuff. I don't remember a word that was ever spoken. Not even one. I'm sure there was nothing wrong with it. I just didn't pay attention to it. But years and years and years and years and years and years and years later, certainly well after we were married, I received Jesus. I believed. I didn't make myself believe. I just did. Has anybody here read what the Bible said and agreed with it? Yeah, that's good. That sounds good. But you still didn't have a personal relationship that changed your life forever. Everybody had that. That's a personal revelation by the Holy Spirit to me personally. I mean, supernaturally. I couldn't check it with my mind or my will or my emotions or my reason or my behavior or anything. I just simply read it in the book. And I didn't believe it, 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 and one day I did. That was it. I remember exactly. I remember precisely when that occurred. And I sold all that I had and became happy immediately. because I didn't do anything. I didn't do it. I didn't work that. I didn't do anything to do it. I did everything you weren't supposed to do and nothing that you were supposed to do. And then one day, I was free. It became personal. So he not only confirmed it through the blood of Jesus on Calvary, but then he, through the Holy Ghost, gave me a new birth through faith, but also then I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. I wasn't so sure about the fire part, but I at least wanted the Holy Ghost so that I could speak in tongues and I could heal people and do miracles and signs and wonders. And that was amazing. And I had a lot of humility in that, that I was proud of. Lord, I am now, it's unbelievable. I prayed for that person and they got healed. It was unbelievable. And though I tried to be humble about it, I was actually very proud of it. That was awesome. Next. You know, this is good. Take my picture, you know. And that was wrong. I knew that was wrong, but still. I kept going back to the gospel that Jesus hasn't changed his mind. It's been confirmed and now sealed. And now daily he delivers. Daily he delivers. And one day, once for all, there will come the final judgment off to the right hand. Wow. That's amazing. Now, why do I believe that? I don't know. You can't check that, by the way. There's no way you can know what I really believe in my heart or in my soul or even in my life. You can see some things, but you can't see all things. So you have no idea. I have no idea about you. And so when someone says something, I don't trust them. Because the Bible said, Jesus trusted himself to no man. So we can't trust people. Has anybody noticed that you cannot trust people? There's something about people that's not trustworthy. Even Christians. Do you know that even Christians can lie or be hypocritical? And so what Paul says here in the 15th verse of the third chapter of Galatians is that, let me speak as a man. Even though a man makes a covenant, a contract, an agreement, it cannot be disannulled if once it is confirmed. Even if there's more to it, still you cannot change it or alter it. Once it's been confirmed, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it was established forever in heaven and on earth, no matter what. Now, you don't have to believe that. I do. I actually believe. And I need to, because this is really, really good news for me. I believe it. And it's the source of my happiness. You can ask Peggy, is Jim ever sad or unhappy or whatever? Never. Never. And when I go to bed at night, I close my eyes and fall asleep within seconds. And I'm never under stress or worry or nervous or anything. Why? The Bible. What the Bible says. But that word is not a external word. That has become a personal word in my heart. I believe Jesus actually lives in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I believe that. And I have seen, but that's not why I believe. I believe without seeing. For example, every once in a while, I shared this morning in Dallas, every once in a while Peg will look over at me and say, I'm so glad I'm married to you. And that's like a miracle. Really? That's amazing. With all that she's seen and heard, that she could say that. Of course, it only lasts for a few seconds. But she puts this proviso on it. Well, this is what I feel right this second, but I may change. But you see, I have faith. So I can't imagine anything else. I don't really care. You know what? I don't need to see it to believe it. I believe she's the perfect wife, and I'm the perfect husband. How can you beat that? Do you believe you're the perfect wife or the perfect husband? Well, let's hear a yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to ask again because I think a few of you are still thinking about that. Don't think, just do you believe that you are the perfect son, the perfect daughter, the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect whatever? That you're perfect and you're a blessing, that no one else has what you have. You are unique. You are special in God's sight. And you are God's beloved. Therefore, Christ in you loves everybody. And is blessed by everybody. Even if they try to hurt you, they can't. Because God won't allow his beloved to be spoiled or destroyed. You know, if God loves you, he loves you. That's it. And he's confirmed that. And now he sealed that with the Holy Ghost. I did him. I got to ask for it. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit daily, continually, constantly. I want that all the time, because otherwise, you know what I'll do. If you don't fill me, I'll be filled with me. So if you fill me up, then I won't have me. So every day I need to die daily. Every day. Every day. So I read the Bible every day. I don't have to read it in faith. I just read it. Whether that's faith or not, you don't even know, and neither do I. I don't care if I'm reading it in the flesh or in the spirit or it's the devil or whatever. Every day that I read it, and this is literally true, I always come out joyful. I always quit praying when the Lord speaks or whatever. But I've never left just going, well, I didn't get anything out of that. I've never done that. Maybe you did. I haven't. Every time I look at it, I'm just amazed again and again and again. It's like fresh. It's like the day I was born again, I'm just like that still. I know that's not everybody's testimony, but it is mine. Every day, like, I'm so amazed that I'm still a pastor, that I'm still alive, that I'm not in prison, that the IRS hasn't audited me or something. You know, just so much can go wrong, and so much does go wrong in this world. And I'm amazed that I'm still blessed beyond measure. I can't believe I'm happy all the time. But it's because of that book. Because that book was confirmed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only did he become my Savior, now he's my Lord. And every day I'm filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Not just last week stale. The Holy Spirit every morning forgiving me. And every morning showing me his righteousness, not mine, his righteousness for me every day. It's amazing. I know this message, I've preached it for, I don't know, 45, 50 years, whatever it's been. How many years has it been? Peggy knows all these details. How much? Whatever that all was, those details are important. What I'm trying to say is, every day the Lord has been faithful. Every day. I have never had a dull moment. I've never wished I were somebody else or something else or I was somewhere else or whatever. I have no wishes at all. None. I'm totally satisfied. I've drunk the drink that satisfies and I'm satisfied. I have been, and I still will be. I like all my enemies, whoever they are, do it, go for it. Whatever you want to do toward me to hurt me or harm me, go for it. Doesn't trouble me a bit. Just what took you so long? But you know what? They haven't gotten to me yet. I've done a lot of stupid things, but my stupidity, I never got the full consequences of my stupidity because of what Jesus did. So even though I'm chastened, I'm never destroyed. I can't believe it. God, there's so many things I said I was going to do and I didn't do them. There's so many things I thought were going to happen and they didn't. You know, I just don't know it. I just know, simul justus et peccator. I am at the same time a sinner under the law, but a saint because of the gospel. And I know the law is gone forever. So therefore, I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. Not only does he forgive my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins, but to cleanse me from all unrighteousness every time I come before him. Jim, don't leave yet until you know you're perfectly righteous. Okay. Are you laughing? Are you having a wonderful time? Well, yeah, a little bit. Okay. Could you do? No, no. Yeah, okay, I am. And so every day I won't leave until I got full righteousness, full happiness, full joy. Now, is there anyone here who also has experienced what I just said, that every day when you go into the closet with God or wherever you go, do you know that God is for you? And if God be for you, who can be against you? Is there anyone else here that experiences that as I do? I don't know. Maybe I'm unique. I don't mind. I don't care that anybody else gets it. I don't care. I just got it. And I want everyone to have it. But I can't make them. I can just share it and say to you, I am the happiest person on the face of the earth. If there's somebody else, I'm happy to be happy with them equally. So is there anyone else? John? Okay. Jackie? Joyce? Linda? Who else? Yes. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. I tell you, that's a miracle. That isn't what I did. I didn't do that. I did not do that. If God used me, it's a complete shock and surprise to me. But if somebody else got it, that's powerful. That is so powerful. It's precious. Do you know that's what God wants for everybody? But he doesn't force his way. He doesn't force his will. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He just declares it, and somehow it works. I cannot say how it works. I just know it did. I don't care how it did. I don't care. I don't care how I got it or what happened just before it. Or I don't want to know about all that. All I know is I'm a believer now. I'm a new creation. I'm no longer Jim. In 1940, I was born in 1940. That was the time of World War II. And there was a cartoon that characterizes my life. And there was a picture, a cartoon, where a woman was talking to her husband, and there was a review of all the soldiers going off to war. And all the soldiers were marching in perfect unison. It was beautiful. And they were watching this parade, and there was one soldier that was completely out of step with everybody else. And so the woman turns to her husband and says, "That's our boy, Jim. Everyone else is out of step except our boy, Jim." That's actually what the cartoon says. Now, that's me. I don't really care about being in step with anybody. I don't care. I don't know how all that worked. And I never fit in anywhere. I'm not saying I didn't have friends. I'm just saying I didn't do anything. I never worked at anything. I never tried to be good or decent or kind or tell the truth or anything. I just did what I did what I did. There's no rhyme nor reason. I wasn't intelligent or anything, meaning I didn't try to. I cheated and lied. And I just did everything I did. I didn't think about it. I was a junior in college before I read the first book of my life. I was a junior in college. I never read a book. I never studied. I mean, some teachers are thinking of that again. I'll tell you, it's a good deal. I learned a lot by not studying. Because then you would train your ear to hear whatever you need to know. And then, you know, I cheated. But the point is that I made it all the way through college, junior year, before I did a lick of work. And then, because we were poverty stricken, I had to go to work. So that was the end of that. And I had really good grades, but cheated. Because I didn't want to work. I was lazy. I just believed you should have a good time. I don't know where I came up with that idea. Does anyone else have that idea? I just think everything should work for me. Bless me. I never thought of loving anybody else or caring for my mother or my father, my third father, my whatever. I never thought about anybody else. I just thought of me. I just took care of myself. And because my mother worked, and fathers never stayed. None of the men stayed. So since they didn't stay around, I never knew who was going to be who or what was going on. So I just took care of myself, basically. And I didn't have any morals. I had no morals at all. None. I never had any moral thought. I never had any religion. I told you, until that third father. That was the first time. And he just forced me. Because he was 250 pounds, and I'm still not even close. And so, he had a little, and he said, you know, anytime you want to disobey, and you think you can take me, I won't do anything. But until you become able to take me, I'm going to beat you. And he did. He beat me. He would just take me downstairs, take off his strap, beat me. I'll tell you what, that does put the fear of God in you. But I don't know that it was the fear of God. I think it was just the fear of him. Because he was a football type player guy, and I'm not. But I was good at ping pong. But I never did amount to a hill of beans. So there you have it. Is this good news?
Amen.
That what God hath promised, God hath kept. What God hath said, he hath done. What God did was always for you. That you would have everything on this earth that you needed to come home and be with him forever. Now, what you had in mind may not have worked, but what he had in mind works. And the only issue for God was, I want you home with me. I want you to come home. Amen. I remember literally the day and the hour when I was not a Christian. I was a pastor, but I was not a Christian. I remember when he said to me, Jim, I didn't believe in hearing God, but I heard it inside. Jim, what you're looking for is me. Everything you're looking for is me. I said, I'm not. I don't want you. I've looked at your people. I don't want to be like them. I ain't ever going to become a Christian. I don't want it. I like just the way it is. If I die, fine. I don't believe in you. But some years later, here I am. I'm totally believing in Jesus. My whole life is given over to Jesus. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm out of step with everybody else. I don't know if they're all marching right and I'm marching wrong, or I'm marching right and they're all wrong. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is I'm not part of the crowd. I don't belong to a crowd. I belong to Jesus, period. That's my whole life, my whole joy, my whole peace, my whole happiness, my whole everything. And I believe the best has been saved to the last. Amen. And so I actually believe that many of you are blessed because I'm here. I shouldn't be here, but I am. I should be somewhere else, but I'm not. I'm here. So as long as I'm here, praise God. And I want everyone to get a hold of this. Thank you for you three ladies and whoever else raised their hand, you three right there and so on. Because this is good news. I can't imagine why anyone would turn it into a law. Bad news, pressure on you, stress on you. It's all been done. It's over. It's finished. There can't be any change. God hath decided, determined the whole destiny of the world forever, the whole universe. It's all going to perish and fall away except for those that believe. That is good news. He wants everybody to come, whosoever will. If you want it, just take it. You probably already have it. You're just psychologically messed up because of psychology teaching. When I went to college, I remember psychology was not a science. 59. It was not a science at that time. I never even heard of it. I didn't even know what it was. And sociology was not a science. Both of those were non-sciences. But since then, they just made a decision. I remember exactly when and where. They made a decision, from now on, we're going to present this as though it's real. I know there are movies, because I've looked at some of the old 30s movies and so on, where they used to talk about that all the time. She's crazy and so on and so forth. But I never paid attention. That didn't mean anything to me, because it just sounded crazy to me to talk about crazy, or that we were born of monkeys or something. It never impressed me. I never felt like I was a monkey. And I used to go to the zoo and look to see if any of them had written, you know, a sonata or typed up some Shakespeare or something, and they never had. No matter how much you looked at them, they hadn't changed. And just in my weird little way of looking at it, that's stupid. I said, that monkey business is nonsense. Now, with all my learning then after that, I learned, oh yeah, you didn't know anything. You're out of step. You didn't know anything. But then I became la creme de la creme, the cream of the cream, the top of the top. I became the top student wherever I went. I mean, having never read a book, then I still have 30, 40,000 books. I don't even know how many I have. I have a lot of books. Peggy can hardly breathe in the house because it's just a library for everything. And it's in the attic. They're in the, you know, all the rooms I've transformed into libraries and so on and so forth. They're everywhere. They're all over the floor and so on. I've built sheds outside for them and everything. But I read them all the time. I love reading how stupid we are without God. I do. I like to read all about everything. But you know what? The Bible's the only book. That's it. I measure everything by the Bible. And you can read all the books I have. Someday I die. You can all look at my books because they'll say in the margins, UGH, U-G-H, exclamation point, stupid, non sequitur, etc., etc. In other words, I always rewrite the books that I read. And so I write in all of them. I just write in them. Because that's the best way for me to remember what I was thinking when I first read it. And I'll read some books, you know, a dozen times or more. Because I thought they had some substance to them. But most books, I read the first paragraph and I already know what it's going to say. And that's the end of it. So I'm a lot smarter than I appear. I actually know all those big words and Hebrew and Latin, Greek and French and German and so on and so forth. I actually know all that nonsense, but I never do it. Why? Because it's not the Bible. So I'm only interested in the Bible. I'm completely useless for anything else. Even though I could do other things. I don't want to. This is my whole life, Jackie. I love it. Giving people good news. And I know people don't even understand what I'm saying, and I don't really care. I'm just going to keep saying it anyway. So I haven't got a stake in it. I just believe this is so good for me personally that everybody should be free. Everybody should be happy. Everybody should know Jesus. Everybody should be in love with him. Everybody. And that's what he wants to do. But it's up to you to take it. It's up to you to enjoy it. It's up to you. It's not up to God. God will not do something. He will not. He's done everything he's going to do. He said everything he needs to say. Now, it's up for you then just to enjoy it. I don't think you have to understand all of it. I don't think anything like that. There's nobody can understand everything anyway. You can read and read and read and read and read. You still, there's more. There's no end to books. I mean, they got billions and trillions and gazillions. I don't know how many they got. They got a lot of them. And I have a lot of good ones. But David probably will inherit some of them, and you probably never look at them. But you'll just see ugh and stupid and non sequitur, you know, because I rewrite the whole book while I'm in there. I mean, I write up the page, down the page, all that white space. I fill it up with black, you know, black letters. So nobody can buy those books because they're I rewrote them. He's wrong here. That is foolish right there. That is fallacious reasoning. I'll just write all of that in there. And then I prove my points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And so yeah, I fill up the page and write on the next page and so on. My Bible's like that too. Now, I don't correct God because God is absolutely always correct and I am never correct. If God says something, I believe it without even understanding it. I believe it. I believe everything God has said in that Bible. I believe it may look like a law, but it's actually a gospel. So everything in the Bible is good news, good news, good news, good news. There's no bad news. All right. Anyone want to give a testimony? Pastor, that was awesome. That was great. I'm blessed by the good news you shared.
I'm blessed. It was good.
Jackie, thank you. Just, yeah, make it up. It's okay. Just make me look good. Yes.
It was awesome. And you are a blessing to us. Absolutely.
It's powerful. But it's God. But you know that. It's powerful. Who else? Joyce.
I could just say what your story
It is. Yeah, I believe that. I do believe God spoke to me this morning as clear as can be. It's powerful. When God does that, you don't care that people get it or don't get it. You only are blessed that God spoke to you personally, showed you something personally, and you know it was God. I can't speak for anybody else. I can only say for me. But I believe others of you also read the Bible, and every once in a while or frequently, whatever, you know that's God speaking to me, changed my life forever. I'm never the same after God speaks. All right. Colleen, did you want to say anything?